Hello and welcome in Jesus' name. My name is John Kester. You are listening to a recorded sermon of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share the Word of God together. This fellowship is an outreach of Theological Foundations Ministries. We invite you to visit our website at www.theologicalfoundations.com. and www.marriagedivorce.com. There you will find a wealth of messages, material, and online teachings, and books which you can download, copy, and burn to a CD, and distribute to your friends, family, freely without charge or obligation. To partner with us, please go to www.theologicalfoundations.com and click on the links for How Can I Help? Now, let's get out our Bibles as we follow along with today's message. Here is the chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, Stephen Wilcox.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have promised that when we come to you, that you will speak to us. Lord, I ask for wisdom and I ask for clarity that I be able to give this message as I believe that you have given it to me with understanding and with sensitivity, but with clarity. Lord, I ask you to open the ears of all those that are hearing it and open the hearts so that it may be both heard and understood. I ask for your direct help, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, these are very strong words and some very clear warnings and parameters set up by Jesus early in his ministry. What he said to the Jews of his day and what he is saying in the New Testament to us is just that Christianity was not introduced by him to be outside of the moral law of God. It was not set up to establish a religion of indulgence and in lawlessness, but one that stepped above the law, one that took the law and took it off of tablets and took it out of legislation and put it upon our hearts. And he went at great length in this chapter to explain what that meant. I want to draw your attention in our text to one particular verse. Do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. So, what does that mean? Does that mean as a Christian, we are somehow to understand that there's a golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but yet we can steal, and we can lie, and we can murder, and we can fornicate, and we can commit adultery, and we can embezzle, and we can swindle, and we can be drunk, and we can be doped, and we can be satisfied with our lusts? Certainly not. God forbid, as is written elsewhere. Now, I think so far, we probably don't have a whole lot of disagreement, but let's go a little farther to where possibly there might be some problems with some of you that are listening to this on CD. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, I want to read verses 9 to 13. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. This is directly in context. Paul is writing on the very same subjects that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5. Here we go. He's writing to the church. He's writing to you. He's writing to me. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people, Paul says. Verse 10. I did not at all mean the immoral people of this world or with the covetous or the swindlers or the idolaters, or for them you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging others? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked men from among yourselves. Stop, unquote. What Paul is saying is that to be salt and to be light as a Christian, as introduced by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, you are to be salt and light to the church. I can't change the world. You can't change the world. Christians are told not to try to change the world. We are to let God change us, but we are to judge within the church. The church, if it's following Jesus Christ. The church, if it's filled with the Holy Spirit. The church will change the world if God wills. But you and I are to be part of a clean church, and we're to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Now, just to repeat that one verse, do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And then verse 19, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps them and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then a warning, and this is absolutely critical. Those that say that it is the heart of Christianity to endorse sin and to endorse lawlessness and to excuse it and not to root it out because of a misapplication of the grace of God, this is a warning. That's Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees were hypocrites. They were pretending to be one thing and doing another. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 to 24. Just three verses. Central to the gospel. Central to what Jesus is talking about and Paul contributed to. The eye is the lamp of the body, so that if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. In some of the translations, you cannot serve both God and the world. You cannot serve both God and man's kingdom. Let's talk about something that I think most Christians can agree on. The law, as expressed in the written code, says, thou shalt not steal. Jesus did not overturn the law of stealing. Don't steal. If you're a Christian, you cannot steal and remain a Christian. If you have stolen, you must give back what is stolen. You must earn an honest living. Any Christianity that allowed or tolerated stealing would be a doctrine of demons. But not only is it a mandatory requirement that you yourself don't steal, you must, as a Christian, not even just as a Christian, you must, as a citizen, stand up against stealing, stand up against robbery. You must stand against thieves. You can't receive stolen goods. You can't say, I haven't stolen, but you receive stolen goods. You go and you buy a $500 TV for $50. You know it's stolen. It probably was lifted at a burglary last night down at a store, and you're going to give somebody $50 for what you know is stolen. And what thieves do is they hide stolen goods right in plain sight. And if a country or if a jurisdiction isn't careful, what will happen is that the records are altered in order to hide stolen goods right in plain sight. Don't take part in any of that. If you know of where there's a crime ring, if you know where they're stealing, expose it. Phone the police. If it's within the church, stand against it. Stand up. Stand up. Don't be quiet. Speak out. Expose what's going on in churches where there's enormous money being stolen. We hear about it all the time. It's stolen because not only are people duped, but they're compliant. They say, it's none of my business. They wash their hands of it. Stand up and uncover and expose evil. Be salt. Be light. There is something that's really important here. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. This is talking to us on a heart-to-heart level. Jesus is talking about how to take the 2,000 years of principle and have it applied in your life today, in your heart. Verse 23, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. In other words, if you have violated God's law in this or any other area, the Holy Spirit, and if you're sincere, the Holy Spirit will convict you. Let's talk about something else that Jesus referred to, especially in Matthew 5. Lying, untruths, fibs, half-truths, misrepresentations, falseness, deceitfulness of all types. As salt and light, we're supposed to tell the truth no matter what it costs us. If in telling the truth we lose all that we have, all that we hold dear, all that we want, then we still must tell the truth. We must not let falsehood stand, expose deceit whenever and wherever it's found. To lie is to steal the truth and to allow it to be stolen and to give it to something or someone where it does not belong. Do not take part in that. Do not be a conveyor of untruths or an enabler. Stand up. Be salt. Be light. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven or by the throne of God or by the earth, for it is the footstool of a seat, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. Jesus is saying, you don't have to swear on a bunch of things. You know, you shouldn't have to have your hand on the Bible in order for people to believe whether or not you're telling the truth. As Christians, we tell the truth. And if we see an untruth, we unmask it. Let's talk about murder, hate, revenge. In Matthew chapter 5, 21 and 22, Jesus said, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whosoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into a fiery hell. Jesus goes on to explain it further in verses 38 to 41. You've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him also. If someone is going to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now, this is Theological Foundations Ministries. We operate www.marriagedivorce.com. There is a point to all this. We're now going to hit it. Adultery. All sexual and relationship sin, not just homosexuality or bestiality, but the sins that are actually commonly present within the church, premarital sex, use of pornography, and then the big one, the damnable sin of this generation, divorce and remarriage. Stand up. Don't take part. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't give it counsel. Don't enable it. Don't recognize it. Don't live with it. Don't walk beside it. Don't meet it quietly on the sidewalk. Stand up against it. Fight against it. Put your life and your relationships and your friendships and your family and your decisions and your fellowship and your tithe and your feet and your hands and your head and your heart and your body behind it. Jesus singled this out. He did. It's the only one so far where he absolutely specifically nailed it and introduced remedy. Turn with me to Matthew 5, 31 and 32. 31, it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity, and the root word there is porneia in the Greek, premarital sex, makes her commit adultery. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery, unquote. Stand up. Jesus was just saying that if a man divorces his wife, she's not guilty of premarital sex fornication. She, being the innocent party, moves along with her life. She was divorced, no fault of her own. He divorced her, probably after another woman. Threw her out. She remarries. She's an adulteress. The man that marries her is an adulterer. Adulterers and adulteresses don't get to heaven according to the New Testament. No divorce, no remarriage. Stand up. Learn what the scriptures say. Teach it. Show it. Don't take part. Don't remedy. Don't accept stolen wives, stolen husbands. Stand up against the theft. Stand up against the lie. take a stand. As in all stolen goods, don't receive them. Don't register them either and get a license. Don't turn a blind eye. And if you call yourself by the name of Christ, be salt and be light. Please turn with me to Ephesians 5, chapter 1 to 11. It's very important. It's directly in context. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, unquote. Jesus said that we are to have a godliness. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and it must surpass by far, by infinite design and by detail and by decree, much more than the Pharisees, or else we're lost. We are called to a higher standard. We are not permitted to take part and to be part of the sins of the age. Rise above them. Treat everyone with love. Be careful how you do it. Do it in love. Do it with care. Do it with kid gloves. Do it in tears and do it from the heart, but do it. Please turn with me to Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter, but Jude. I'm going to read 21 to 25. I think we'll close on that. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatch them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, now, and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, to rise higher and to be clean before you, and help us this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that you've been blessed and encouraged by the Word of God today, shared by our fellowship. We invite you to visit www.theologicalfoundations.com and www.marriagedivorce.com to listen to other Spirit of Hosea sermons and to have free access to a wealth of teaching and materials from various pastors, teachers, and authors in the body of Christ. This ministry is maintained entirely by your ongoing prayers and generous financial support. We thank you for listening and trust that you will draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is John Kester saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.